when I was reading the first reading here, and I was thinking, if there's one sin that we think that we have gotten rid of, it is definitely coveting our neighbor's oxen and donkey. I don't think I've heard that in the confessional ever. Forgive me, Father, for my neighbor's donkey. I've been really eyeing it. So we can say there is some progress in our spiritual life. The focus of today's liturgy, the word, is the firstness of God, putting God first. Now, we may intellectually grasp that, but we need to be reminded, because slowly we begin to forget how God has been supplanted by other things that begin to take first place. We see that in the Old Testament account when it speaks about Job. Job was a man who was virtuous in God's eyes. And Job was tested by the tempter to say, is he really that virtuous? Does he really love you all that much? And God allowed him to be tested. Much like God in our life many times allows us to be tested. We know in the case of Job that slowly things are being taken away. And pretty soon we said, well, that's uncomfortable. That's quite disagreeable. I don't quite agree with that. And finally, a moment, Job said, you know what? What have I done wrong? And God teaches him, everything of your life, Job, is pure gift. Everything. In effect, we have no right to claim anything for ourselves. We didn't choose the day we were born. We didn't choose the color of our eyes. We didn't choose our mother tongue. Or we didn't choose how long we will live or how tall we'll grow. Everything is God's. Well, if everything is God's, can I not do with what is mine? So we have to look at our lives and everything as utter gift. And when God allows at times to remind us that he is the first and foremost in our life, we protest. How often do we see things in our life and we say, like, why does God permit wars? Why does God permit poverty? But we don't have the same struggle with saying, how good is God that every day he gives us the morning sunshine? Every day God gives me breath. Every day God blesses me with strength and with wonderful thoughts. We tend to look at everything that's wrong as God's fault and everything right as owed to me. And that's where the subtleness comes of God allowing in this life, not because he wants to cause us any sadness, but he wants our hearts to be free, because when we realize that God is the center of our life, we truly live with a profound sense of awe and wonder. But also we live a profound sense of trust in the goodness of the Lord. When Jesus speaks about the lilies of the field, that they bloom today and tomorrow thrown in the furnace, how often do you contemplate the utter beauty that is in creation? Now that we have ChatGPT and all this AI, we say, oh, wow, you can speak something and create art. But is there anything more beautiful than nature? People travel all over the world to come to Alberta to see our beautiful mountains, our lakes, to see the sky, especially in Calgary, which is always sunny. And something wonderful, well, some people may say it's a little snowy today, but relatively speaking, if you go to BC, you'll say, like, Calgary is always sunny. But we see things as everything as this awe and majesty of God. But we lose that capacity to recognize the wonder and awe of God. And so our lives start becoming much more boring. And we get so much more prone to complain. So there's something about God in reminding us and sometimes taking away things. You've heard of that saying, it says that we only appreciate something when we lose it. You know, quite often you're saying, like, I mean, how often do you think about water, you know? You know, think like, oh, water, you know, go to the tap, you know, get anywhere. And then you're out, you know, hiking in some mountain. And, you know, the last thing you want is a Pepsi or a Coca-Cola. You actually just want water that really quenches your thirst, not something sugary. And it's all the time there. Like that famous saying, water, water everywhere and not a drop to drink. When someone is lost in the ocean, right? You have all this water here, but it's not potable. I wish I had that. So this is where the whole message of putting God first. We see then in the gospel here, when Jesus is purifying the temple, Jesus is reminding us that this place was first and foremost to remind you who you are. As you read in the first reading about speaking about God setting them apart with the commandments, right? To bring them into freedom. And God's reminding us that the temple is the place where we try and find our true freedom, because there alone is God worshiped and glorified. There is God present. The God who fought all your battles, the God who did the great wonders and awe in the desert and with Pharaoh. This is the God who's here. But what happened to the temple? Well, we may ask the question, how did all these animals and money changers and doves get there in the first place? Well, it happened to be that the way of worship was that when you came to the temple, everyone should travel to the temple. So people would come far and wide if they didn't live in Jerusalem. And they'd travel, but they had to bring an animal to sacrifice. And the animal had to be an animal without blemish. So if you were more wealthy, you would bring a lamb. But let's now figure this out. Suppose you're living someone far away, even maybe not too far away. Suppose we're living in Medicine Hat, but you had to go on foot, and you had to come to Calgary, and you had to bring an unblemished lamb. Maybe that little lamb had a fall. Maybe some animal attacked it. Well, by the time you get to Jerusalem, you can't say it started off unblemished, but now it's blemished. So much like we have Amazon nowadays, instead of me going to the store, I have it delivered right here. The temple became a place where they kept animals, they raised them, and it was given to a certain caste of people, these Levite priests, that they would raise them and they would sell them. But then pretty soon, the money started coming in, right? And all of a sudden, instead of just making it a service, it became a service for profit. Now maybe there's good reasons. Maybe they say maybe we can sell the lambs for a little bit more and we can have donuts after the Passover, right? Much like we have a donuts after Mass, right? And then pretty soon someone said, you know what? Maybe I can sell them for a little bit more and we can organize some other charitable good. Pretty soon, we forgot the reason why, and animals started to be selling. Now another thing, to come into Jerusalem, Jerusalem would not allow any graven images. Guess who's on the coins of Rome? The face of Caesar, right? And also he was the occupier. So you didn't want those coins. You were not allowed to use those coins in the temple. So when you come to the temple, you exchanged your coinage from either it be from the Roman Empire, if you came from Persia, wherever, you changed it and you used the coin of where they were, the shekel, which did not have any graven images on it there. So money changers, same thing. Started there, it could be a service, and pretty soon, if we cash in a little bit more, pretty soon, everything which began with a good intention became lost. And this is how you see Jesus when he comes. He looks at the temple, and he sees the place of worship has become a place of profit, all centered upon me. So good intentions slowly become a way where God gets displaced. And that happens in our life. Slowly, God gets displaced. Let's all ask ourselves a question, Is God first in my life? Yes. Do you spend more time with the Lord than you do with your smartphone? I think all of us, including myself, right, can say, there's a lot of time we spend on those devices or on screens. And we could say to ourselves, but life is so busy, I just don't have time to pray. I find it so difficult. Is it that there is not enough time in the day, or that our hearts have become filled with other things that slowly start putting God in first place? We all know how profitable it is to read Scripture. Scripture enlightens our heart, gives us strength, gives us courage. But quite often when we're discouraged, we forgot about it. Oh my gosh, maybe I should watch an episode of Oprah, or maybe I should see Dr. Phil, or maybe I should, you know, go do some spiritual activity of climbing a mountain to try and find courage instead of going to the Word of God. Because we've forgotten. We've forgotten who the Lord is. If only we had the memory like the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt and they saw the great signs and wonders of God. And they truly said, who is like this God? If we truly believed the power of God in our life, we'd be able to walk through all struggles in life, face our difficulties, have courage to bless instead of curse. But this is how we see that slow way in which the things of daily life creep in. So this Lenten period is precisely this purifying of our temples, a greater silence. The reason the fasting is to remind us that we want to fill ourselves with things that truly fill our hearts. We all remember that Snickers commercial. When you're hungry, get a Snickers, you know, because Snickers packs a satisfaction, I think for a second. And then maybe after 15 minutes, you say, like, there's got to be something else sweet in this house here, right? And you're looking, and finally you get that maple syrup, because that's the only thing left, right? You're drinking it. But is it really filling us? No. The only thing that truly fills us is God. And this is why we need that purification of the temple. Allow ourselves to go back to that firstness. And the first sign of God being central in our life is gratitude. Gratitude. And this is why St. Paul tells us, give thanks to the Lord. I tell you this, give thanks always. Wow, that's a pretty high bar. Do I always give thanks and in all things? I could find many excuses not to give thanks because God's not in the center. But if God is in the center, we could truly say if God is with us, who is against us? For the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But till we've got there, we recognize there's a lot of work to do in bringing God back into the first place. So on this Lenten journey, let us go back to our fasting, our almsgiving, our prayer, these means which we have to allow us to look for spaces in our heart where God is not the first. Above all, in the places where I'm not grateful, even for difficult things. Because perhaps God allows those things to say, am I not enough? Your Lord and your God.